Good morning, church. Good to be with you this morning. My day started a little earlier than normal. Coca-Cola is so short for money, we're short on staff, and we haven't been able to hire people, so they called me Friday and wanted to know if I'd work, and I said, no, I got to preach. She said, well, can you go in early? Said, yeah. So my alarm went off at 3:30 this morning. Chris nudged me in the back and said, are you going to work at 3:45? And I said, yeah. So anyway, here we are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask you to shut me down today, Lord, and just give me the words that you want me to speak. I know the message you've laid on my heart. To that. Just give me what you want me to speak today. In your name we pray. Amen. So the title today is Finding Eternal Joy. And I'll be brutally honest. Public service announcement. The young people that put on the youth group or youth meeting Thursday, They're wanting to do a fundraiser, so they're going to do a bake sale raffle or a bake sale type thing Thursday at the junior high track meet. If anybody is interested in that, preparing some kind of baked good, see Delaney or Kate or Shannon, and they're going to do that just for some incidental money for them to have for supplies or whatever they need. We've already made a commitment to them that we'll supply whatever, but they want to be financially independent of that as well. So if you feel that if God leads you there just and you're a baker, then bake some cookies and get them with Shannon. She said she'd like to have those Wednesday, I guess, for the track meet Thursday. That being said, and I talked to the girls this morning. I'll go back. About a year and a half ago, Delaney and I met, and Delaney said she had an interest, and it was her and Tessa Watterson of putting themselves out there and trying to start a Bible study for youth that was youth-led. And I tried to support that any way I could and tried to coach Delaney on what ways to go. And it's been a process. God's been working. God's been putting people in Delaney's path, putting Delaney in their path. So there are four young ladies that came up with wanting to have a youth-led Bible study. And they wanted to know if they could use the church, and I said, absolutely. Actually, Les and Jesse and I talked about it, and we all said, absolutely. So this Thursday, that came to fruition, and that started, and there was 33 young people here. I was not involved. Well, I ordered pizza. That's the only thing I did, which is kind of nice for me. The girls did a phenomenal job of leading that discussion. They came up with their own curriculum, came up with their own stuff. And I think there's a lot of positive feedback with that. So that being said, I'm stealing part of their message because I thought it was something worth talking about in the week we had. Yeah, I'll be honest, on Thursday, I was not, when I got done with softball practice and I told my wife Thursday morning, I got to go to the church. And we talked about that word this morning. I said, I have to go to the church tonight. And I should have said, I get to go to the church tonight, right, Delaney and Kate? That's what we talked about today in Sunday school, was the choice we get to make. My weeks are crazy. Everybody's weeks are crazy. But I am so glad that God carved out that couple hours for me to be here to support those young ladies and something that they're, God's vision for what they want is the same. And it's nice to see. So they talked about happiness. The actual sheet says happiness, the issue. Of all the desires in our life, happiness may be something people crave more than anything else. The idea of being happy is often seen as the most important thing in life. Yet so many people seem to struggle with being happy. We all want to be happy, but do we know how to achieve happiness? Let's explore what the Bible says about the pursuit of happiness. So that got me to leading, and you know, I Tuesday, I don't know what time it was, 8:30-ish, my phone rings, and Lindsay never calls me. And I answer the phone, and all I hear is, and she said, "I'm just sick to my stomach." And I was like, "Okay, what happened?" Calvin Pierce, who's the ODOT leader for Morrow County, called her, and he knew that John had married her and Shelby. And he said, "I wanted you to know, keep it quiet, don't tell anybody. But John Walker was killed in a car accident this morning." That hit her hard. She's not only did John marry her, Lindsay grew up with a Miranda and spent a lot of time at Grandma and Grandpa Walker's on Sunday evenings for pizza. Got to know John very well. John was one of the reasons she went into the Air National Guard. As I learned this morning, John was also the reason Jackson Winger is in the Air National Guard currently. So this guy has reached a lot of people. You know, I'll be honest, I knew John as the guy with the Wrangler tattoo on his butt. Where his jeans normally sit. But I got to know John as he was marrying the two girls a lot more, and his love for community, his love for family, and his love for God. I know where John's at. And that's the title of the message today is Finding Eternal Joy. And our lives here on earth are full of struggles. You know, John lost his son, I don't know how long ago, Sawyer. And I can't imagine that pain. And he went through life, but, you know, he grew closer to God through that. And then he started reaching out in the community and really being active. And I can tell you right now, today, that John has found eternal joy. And he has been reunited with his oldest son. While the family is grieving, the family is hurting, the community's hurting. We don't know why. Listen, our job is not to understand everything. Our job is to find eternal joy through Christ Jesus. So we're going to get into this. We're going to skip around a lot today. I think most of them will be on the screens. But I wanted to compare what the girls talked to, or the young ladies talked about Thursday, to what I want to talk about today, being eternal joy, because happiness and joy are not the same. Okay? Happiness, I'll give you the definition I found for happiness. Temporary external emotion based on favorable circumstances. Examples of that are success in the job, success in our marriage, having a great life, having a nice house, having a nice car, having a little bit of money. Okay, those make us happy. Now, when we start weighing too much into those things, it's hard for us to ever feel real joy. You can have happiness without joy. Joy. Joy, the definition, is more of an internal, lasting state of contentment, peace, deep satisfaction, independent of external events. So no matter what goes on around us outside, if I have to ride my bicycle to church because I don't have a car, I can still have joy. I may not have happiness that I got to ride my bicycle, but I can still have joy knowing that I get to come to church, that I get to see and serve a risen Savior. Joy is also a deeper emotion than happiness that comes from within a sense of purpose and meaning, including finding meaning in suffering. And when I found that definition, I was like, you know what? That's a great definition for what we're going through, what happened with John. Even in times of suffering, we can experience joy. In times of suffering, we don't experience much happiness, but we can still experience joy. Let's move on. We'll get into some passages here. Let's go to Job 20, verse 5. And the girls used this one Thursday, and it reads that the exalting of the wicked is short, and the joy of the godless is but for a moment. So when we experience happiness, even if we're not doing the right things, we can experience happiness, but it's a fleeting happiness. The exalting of the wicked is short, and the joy of the godless is but for a moment. And have you ever wondered why? And maybe I'm the only one that wonders this, but I wonder sometimes why God allows nasty people to get good things. You know, there's some people that just never ever struggle with anything. They never have any times of grief or times of, and I think, you know, but they're experiencing their happiness here on earth. I get to experience joy for eternity. Okay, so if you're building into your happiness here on earth, and I'm not telling you not to. Listen, I like to have nice clothes and nice things too, right? Not that I get much happiness out of clothing. But I got to have a good pair of shoes because I can't walk around barefoot. It drives me crazy. I'm the only one in my family that wears shoes inside the house. So I don't like my feet hanging out. The rest of them, they'd rather just walk around barefoot all the time. We don't let Shelby walk around barefoot because she'll give us all athlete's feet. Sorry, Shelby. I'm joyful that you came today. Let's go to Psalm 16, 8 through 11. And these are all verses about happiness. These are all, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path in life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I want to break this one down. So this gives us a principle to live by. If we always set the Lord before us and we think of the Lord before we do things, he's always going to be there. That's pretty neat. And it also, David writes, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. Okay, he is not just happy. His whole being, everything about him rejoices. That sounds like a guy I want to be around. Listen, I know a guy like that. His name is John Walker. He had a magnetic personality. And I think it's because he found joy. Therefore, my heart is glad. So that's part number one. Your heart is full of joy. My whole being rejoices. Everything I do, I am joyful in. Now, I'm going to preface this with, I was not joyful at 4 o'clock when I walked into Kroger this morning. About 7, I'm pretty joyful. About the time they open up the doors for the customers, I get joyful. But if I got to deal with the guys that work overnight, some of those dudes, I worked the night crew, okay? Man, those guys, they get after it. But I was not real joyful when I walked in. But this passage, my whole being rejoices. I should have been rejoicing that I was able to get up at 3:45 this morning and get to go to work, not have to go to work. Because there's a difference. If I have to go to work because I have to pay my bills, work's not much fun. But if I get to go to work because what God's going to do with me today, my day goes a whole lot smoother. And I remind my wife of getting to go to work. Because she's going to get to go to work for 2 more years. She's not always wild about having to go to work. But getting to go to work, that brings us joy. Verse 10, I love this. Because you will not abandon my soul or let your Holy One see corruption. Okay, and that is speaking to, God's never going to leave us. But you know what else God, because of Jesus Christ, is not going to do? He's not going to look at me and see that I am a corrupt human being. He's going to look at me and see what happened right there on the cross. Guys, if we can't be joyful about that, what are we doing here? Because, man, sometimes I'm not very good. But Jesus covered me. Jesus has covered me. Psalm 37:4. And I could look these up and read them to you out of my Bible, but they're right here. It's pretty easy. I love this passage. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, does that say He's going to give you everything? No. If that was the case, we'd all be billionaires walking around and with no plan. It's like I got too much money. I don't need to go to work because God gave me the desires of my heart. I got everything I ever wanted. Here's what God's going to give you. God's going to give you the ability. God's going to give you the desire to go and make a better life for yourself. God's going to give you the drive and the passion to figure out what you want to do. As long as you do it with Him in front of you. It doesn't say anything about it being easy. But the thing that I want you to take from this is to delight yourself in the Lord. Sometimes we don't delight ourselves in the Lord. Sometimes we grumble about every single thing. Is that giving God the delight that He wants to see from us? You know what usually happens? Because I told the girls this Thursday, I did not want to come. But what usually happens is when I make the decision to go because I committed to it, I learned an awful lot Thursday night. God pointed out a lot of things to me Thursday night, and I didn't teach, I listened and I watched. And I watched God work. And that gave me a ton of delight. Because to see young people taking that stand for Jesus Christ and not being ashamed and not being quiet about it. It's pretty neat to see. And I had a lot of joy Thursday night. I was happy, but I had a lot of joy because of what was happening in this church on Thursday night. And that's joy that's not going to go away. You know, we had several of our church kids here. Delaney, Kate, Olivia was here. Abby and Brenna were here. That was huge. That was very, for those that don't know, Abby and Brenna go to Church of Christ, Mount Gilead Church of Christ youth group, and it's a pretty big group. And they brought another young lady with them, and Abby and Cassidy actually did a lot of discussing points with Kate and Delaney. And it was just neat to see that there are kids out there that are here for the same reason. So, again, I was joyful of what happened. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. And this tells us how we should live our life. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Again, this pretty simply lays it out. When we are not putting all our faith in the people of this earth that are wicked or sinners or whatever, and we rather, we delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. I mean, you see what he calls us. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit. Guys, as Christians, we've got to yield our fruit. If we're not yielding good fruit, you know what we need to do? We need to prune it. And that hurts. We've been through that. You know, there's sometimes I get a little fired up and I get a little upset at myself because I don't think there's times when I do a good job of yielding fruit. And then I get mad at myself because the pruning that I go through is self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted. Because I'm A, too lazy, B, I'm too scared, C, I just don't want to do it. Then God reminds me, hey, Dumbo, share my joy. Share my joy. Share my love. And I become a fruit again, or a tree that yields fruit again. But it says it does not wither, and he prospers in everything he does. That's where we want to be, people. That's where we want to be. Let's go to Isaiah 5:11. Woe to those who rise. Oh, this one. Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may run after strong drink, who tarry late into the evening as wine inflames them. Man, that's a Coca-Cola. That should be like our calling card. You know, God doesn't want us to waste our time on things of this earth. You know, we can go 20 hours a day if we want, but if we're doing it for the wrong reason, woe to those who rise early in the morning to go after the strong drink, or to those who tarry late in the evening. Guys, God has a plan for us. I'm pretty sure most of you here know God's plan for your life. when we start deviating and trying to find happiness in other places is where we get into trouble. Psalm 68:3. And it's fitting how these two are fit together. I didn't do this. This is the order that when I was researching stuff came up on my study guide. So we talked about woe to those who rise early and look for the hard drink. But then we go to Psalm 68:3. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. There's a lot of words in there that I'm not sure we're always very good at. And I want you to understand that we're considered righteous because of right here. It's not anything we do to get righteousness or to get grace. It's because of what happened on that cross. So we shall be glad. We shall exalt before God, and we shall be jubilant with joy. Guys, we should be having a party when we're here. We should be jubilant with joy. Now apply that to your life. Are you always jubilant with joy? Now, I was listening to a message this morning while I was working, and I actually found myself enjoying my work because it was a message on being happy in the situation you're in. And I probably look like an idiot. You know, before I was driving so much that I always had my radio turned on, and I thought people thought I was an idiot while I was driving. Well, now I have my ear pods on the store, and I'm listening to the message, or I'm listening to this morning, I listened to a podcast about happiness. And I was probably, people were probably like, something wrong with this guy? Because I just bebopping. I was, amening the guy talking in my ear. And I was like, well, whatever. Got to do something to keep me awake on a Sunday morning. But that's how I should be every day. I should be jubilant with joy. I didn't look up the definition for jubilant. But what my perception of jubilant is we should be praising all the time. Psalm 32:1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Guys, you know who that is? That's all of us. That's all of us. So we are blessed because Jesus covered our sin. Next passage. This would be Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Understand, when we start our Christian path, we're not getting part of God. We're not getting just on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, God. God is there in full for us every single day. But sometimes we kick rocks and we say, oh, God left me. No. When stuff like that happens, I have to remind myself that I made the choice that day to not be jubilant with joy for God. It's not because God doesn't want me to, but He lets me choose. Wish the government was that way. Wish they'd let me choose whether I paid my taxes. But you know what? I'd go back to pay Caesar what is Caesar's. I'd pay my taxes. But another story. Romans 15:13. I'm almost done skipping, and I'm going to get to the main Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you abound in hope. That is God's wish for all of us, is for us to be filled with joy and peace in believing what the story is, what the plan is. You know, we should be at peace knowing that John got called home. Sometimes we're not. But I know John's at peace with it. The ones that get left behind are the ones that don't find peace with it right away. It's hard. It's hard. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And I don't know the definition for abound, but we bought a ball for the boys last night at Dunham's, and this thing's like squishy bouncy, like you drop it. And that's what I envision abounding. Just going wherever. This ball will go wherever. It has a mind of its own, but it's always got the hope that we can catch it, or Beckett can catch it. Harvey will probably pop it, but it's a fun ball. But we should be like that ball, and we should just be abounding in hope. Don't let the ways of the world get to you, because you have something so much greater than anything that goes on outside these walls. I'm not telling you not to still strive to be good at your job, or still try to make it. But we have to go out there with the hope and the promise of not only that Jesus died for us, but the promise that we can have eternal life with him because he rose from the dead. And he beat death. That's where our joy is going to be forever, at the right hand of God the Father. Two more passages. Philippians 4. And the initial was just 4:4, but I'm going to go 4-12 because I think it's important. And the title of this thing is exhortation, encouragement, and prayer. In verse 4 it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and have heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." There's a lot to unpack right there. But we all have something good going on in our lives right now. It may be different for everybody. But the one constant is that the Lord is with us always. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when things are going your way. It doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when you have more money than you know what to do with. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And let it be known to everyone. You ever had that time when you're so happy, but you got to hide it because you don't want anybody else to know you're that happy? You know, this is, I think sometimes this is what we do as Christians, is we have this amazing story that we need to tell, but we don't want everybody else to know how happy we are. How joyful we are. Guys, we need to share that story. We need to share what is going on in our lives. We need to share what God is doing in our lives out there. Always. It doesn't say part-time. It says always. Even when we don't want to. Because we've got to get from, I have to do this, to I get to do this. Because as Christians, we don't have to do anything, but we get to do this. And if we can look at, and we use track as an example, and, you know, Kate told me she was running the 2 mile and a mile, and I said, oh, you have to do that. And I said, but do you look at it as, I get to do that? Does it change your mindset? I don't know. I'm going to use that this week at work. I'm going to say, I get to go to work today. And see how that changes my perspective. I challenge you to take that thing in your life that you have to do and turn it into something you get to do. It's not going to be easy. But I think if we can transform our actions and our mindsets to I get to go serve the Lord, or I get to be around people and tell them about what Jesus did for me, that's a different thing than I have to. I'm going to finish up with this, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and it's written right over here. If you can't read this screen, look over here. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the last line ties it all together. There is no law against these things. You know that. That verse has been there for, I don't know, 20 years? I don't know. It's been there a long time. But as you think about each one of those individual words, those are all things we want to have. Those are all things God can give you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you got a situation this week in your life, think about one of those words. You know, put that verse in your heart, put that verse in your mind, and live your life with that verse and see what happens. God wants to give you all those things. You know, it doesn't say jealousy, envy, hate, whatever, make your list. Those are all gifts of the Spirit. You can't have all of them without God. You can have some of them, probably. You're not going to get them all. For goodness sake, though, do not pay for patience or peace. You pray for patience, you're going to get tested every single minute. I did that one time. Not good. But we need to pray for true joy in our lives and live our lives with true joy. I want you all to be happy, but I would much rather you all be joyful. Because our Lord and Savior came and lived on this earth sinless and then died on the cross because of my sin. If I can't be joyful at that, I need to reevaluate where my priorities are. So we're going to offer a song of invitation. And if you don't know the joy we're talking about, if you don't know the Savior we're talking about, Les and Jesse and I will be here. And we'd love to pray for you and pray with you and pray you through that so that you have that understanding of what that true joy is. If you have any prayer needs, we're here. We love to pray for the church. And understand that you don't have to bring it to us because we're closer to God. That's not the case at all. We're broken sinners just like everyone here. But we love to pray for God's people. Because where two or three are gathered, God is there also. I'm going to close this and then we'll have our invitation song. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the church. I thank you for the young people that are starting to take a stand. I thank you for the Christians in this world that already take a stand. And Lord, I just ask you to give us all that joy that we've talked about this morning. Give us all that joy and understanding that you know that we know. Lord, I just love you. I thank you. I give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, also just keep the Walker family in prayer as they're still dealing with the aftermath of that and anybody that's involved in that situation. But, Lord, we're joyful because we know John is right there with you. And he's with you for eternity. And we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.